I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into The Memo for this Thursday, September the 8th. I'm Brad Locke, along with W. Derek Russell. How's it going, Derek?
It's going.
Hey, we solved the great mystery of 102.9.
No, I would not call that solved. I would call that a fizzled out ending.
Yeah, it was kind of anticlimactic, wasn't it?
This is the way the world ends, not with a... Well, you know the rest of that quote, but...
I don't. But anyways, it turns out that was done. It was done intentionally.
Well, yeah.
Gone Country was played over and over.
We knew it was done intentionally.
And over and over. And it's Frosty the Snowman as well. It turns out it's the same guy that owns those stations.
I knew it was intentional. I didn't know that we were being played in the process.
Well,
I found that out Friday night, because, yes, I listened to it all weekend. 102.9, if you were just joining us, was playing Alan Jackson's Gone Country for a week and a half.
At least
straight, as well as Frosty the Snowman on 96.3. And come Labor Day, they finally went live with Outlaw Country 102.9. They got a lot of free publicity out of specifically me, but and the Daily Journal in general. But specifically me, they also got a lot of time wasted because I sat around listening to it, looking for clues.
Yeah,
I just wanted to know when something was going to happen. I didn't actually think they were going to come on and be like, "Derek Russell, come on down." Or anything like that. But, yeah, I figured it out Friday night. I think they switched the two stations for one song.
Yeah.
And 102.9 played Frosty and 96.3, because I switched back and forth. And then as soon as the songs ended, they reverted back to their continuous loops on their basic stations. And you got me.
Yeah, well.
You got me hook, line, and sinker.
It was fun while it lasted.
They appeared late Sunday night, early Monday morning.
And so the 96
claim their
rises,
to yeah, claim their, yeah. I don't know.
So 96.3 is going
to
be an all
to the victor go the spoils.
96.3 is going to be an all Christmas music station. Apparently.
That's what they're suggesting.
All year round.
Who's calling me from Indianola, Mississippi?
93.
If they don't have pecans, I don't want to talk to them.
Probably 93.3 getting a run for its money now, because they're starting like in, when is it? First of December or somewhere, or maybe earlier. They, you know, they play 24/7
right after Thanksgiving until December 26th. It goes nonstop.
So you know that's one of the few times I'll listen to the radio is around Christmas. Listen, put on 93.3 because they're just playing great Christmas music. Now this station is doing it year round, which I'll be honest, Christmas music, I love it, but I'm not really into it unless it's Christmas time.
Unless it's after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'm like, no, I'm fine. Because if you listen to it all the time, it would probably get old, some of those songs.
I remember, I think I did a column last year on Public Works for putting up the snowflakes, like on November 6th downtown.
Yeah,
it's
a bit early.
No, was it snowflakes? It's snowflakes, isn't it?
I think it was.
Yeah.
I don't know about that one. The Outlaw Country, though, that sounds fine, assuming they're actually playing Outlaw Country, you know, like Johnny Cash or Waylon Jennings.
No, they're not.
Willie Nelson.
They're not playing any of that.
Really?
No.
Well, then it's not Outlaw Country?
No.
What is it? I haven't listened, so I don't know.
It's 90s country.
It's mid to 90s to, I'd say.
Well, that's right in my wheelhouse, too, though.
No, but that's not Outlaw Country.
No, it's not. I mean, there's some good country from the mid-90s, but not a lot of Outlaw Country back then.
Mm-hmm.
So, although Outlaw Country's kind of making a comeback. With guys like Chris Stapleton and Sturgill Simpson.
That's not
like a new iteration of it.
No.
Or maybe it's just real country, and when you compare it to what's on the radio, it seems like outlaw country because it's not what Nashville wants to play. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is.
Whatever. I don't like country.
I do.
But I sat around for a week straight listening to
Alan Jackson's Gone Country.
Look at them boots.
Back to his roots. So
I hear it in my dreams. I sent you the video of my daughter getting in the car. Why is this playing again?
Dad, make it stop.
Is this the only song your car has? Right now it is, sweetie, until we get answers.
Poor Wesley.
Yeah, but then she would, like, mindlessly, like, she'd have a book back there with her. We'd be riding down the road. Like, we drove to New Albany one afternoon.
And you listened to it the whole...
Yeah, of course. I've never stopped listening to it. I needed answers.
Much stronger than I
and
am.
And, like, she... Force is strong with this one. She would mindlessly, I mean, and I was doing the same thing, but she had her book in the back seat, and I just started hearing, gone, gone, gone. And she was singing along, and I was like, you know all the words now, don't you? And she was like, I do. I don't even remember learning them. They're there. It's like they were always there.
Some kind of mind control thing going on. Some
I think
experiment.
I was waiting for some sort of subtle, you know.
Subliminal
messages.
There were subliminal messages. You just don't know it yet. You're going to be on here one day, so just start chanting.
Well, no, I figure the next time I hear Gone Country, I'll just like start barking like a chicken or something, you know.
You've been drinking a lot of Pepsi lately.
Have I? Looks like tea to me. I did buy some Crystal Pepsi the other day.
Jeez, Crystal Pepsi.
Because Crystal Pepsi's back. While we're talking about the 1994 hit Alan Jackson's Gone Country, let's discuss Crystal Pepsi.
Yeah, we're well into 90s nostalgia now, aren't we? It seems like. Because
everything old is new again.
Our generation is now in charge of marketing. It's basically what I've noticed over the years.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever generation is in charge of marketing, like when I grew up in the 80s, it was all 50s nostalgia.
Yeah.
And then... probably 15 years ago, you really started seeing a lot of 80s nostalgia.
It makes sense.
Up.
I mean, I mean, all the people at Pepsi now are, you know, a lot of those marketing people were our age. So,
yeah.
Well, our age, you're a little old, but yeah. How old were you in 94?
I'm Generation X. I was 18 that year.
There you go.
Turned 18. Yeah. Senior year of high school. No, I turned I turned 19 that year, but I was 18 for most of the year.
How old are you now?
Anyway. 40,
no, seriously.
40.
You're 40.
Yeah. Okay. We made a big deal about it last year. Remember, my dad
called. Yeah, I don't know. I block a lot of you out in my head. But.
I'll be 41 in December, sneaking up on me.
So you're...
old. What?
A little more than 9.5 years older than me.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure I had that right in my head.
I was born
for things that I'm planning.
December what?
What?
I was born in December of 75, yes.
Yes. What a good... time that
I
was.
Don't really remember much of the 70s, though.
I heard a pray the night Chicago died.
What?
What? Brother, what a night it really was.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, that's terrible.
I know.
You're listening to too much Alan Jackson. And I can say that as somebody who listened to a lot of Alan Jackson last week.
At least I listened to different Alan Jackson songs.
I broke it up 3 or 4 times. I'd go over for a Frosty Loop, and then I'd come back just to...
Frosty Loop.
Yeah.
That new Dairy Queen tree.
Yeah, that's one of this right up there. They turn it upside down before they give it to you. Make sure you see that it holds. I was trying to find... I posted a video. I don't know if you saw it where... I don't know. I'm just pointing at the screen. It has nothing to do with what... But I posted a video where I was switching back and forth within the lyrics of both songs trying to get... hidden messages, but I think my radio delay was a little too long because I had them preset.
Yeah.
But there was a point where they were both talking about hats, and I was like, yeah, something's happening here.
Telling you, subliminal messages.
Because, you know, Frosty's hat brought him to life, and I've never seen Alan Jackson without one.
I haven't either. In fact, there's lots of country singers. I've seen Tim McGraw without a hat, and I know why he wears one, because he's balding. And I think most of these guys wear hats because they're balding. I don't think it's because of the look. It's just like, well,
I would rather I'm be bald than wear a cowboy hat. I'll tell you that much.
I mean, Kenny Chesney is pretty bald, but he'll occasionally not wear a cowboy hat.
He'll wear a baseball hat.
Yeah,
I've seen him wear a baseball hat before.
I've seen Garth Brooks without a hat. I think
when he was Chris Gaines.
Chris Gaines.
Let's talk about
that. Did I tell you? I had that CD at one point.
I had that.
I
Chris
don't think
Gaines
I still
CD.
Do. But
I think it was a gift.
Because I got rid of all my CDs a few months ago.
Remember Chris Gaines, Chris?
I don't remember
that
Chris
was,
Gaines.
Garth Brooks' was fake alter ego that was a pop star.
And I think
and we're not making this up. He wore a wig.
It was Garth Brooks.
It was Garth Brooks performing
This was like 95, 96.
95-ish. And it was a big thing. Like he was making a movie. And he did one album and fizzled out. There was even...
I remember when he played baseball.
Garth hosted SNL, and Chris Gaines was the musical guest.
I don't remember that.
If you could find that, watch it, because there's a hilarious bit where Tracy Morgan's talking about how terrible Chris Gaines is to Garth Brooks. Like, he doesn't know that they're one and the same.
Is Tracy Morgan on the show that long ago?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem right. Jeez,
I'm old.
Yeah, but I had that
write
CD.
Write us in if you remember about Chris Gaines. Tweet us or something, because that's...
Before I got rid of the CD, I want to say I went back and listened to it a few months ago just to see if it was any good, and it was terrible.
It was not.
So
Let's see when that was, because I'm actually kind of curious now. Where's the space bar?
Garth Brooks is Chris Gaines. So now Garth is making a comeback of sorts. I guess he was kind of basically retired for a while, wasn't he? He's touring again, I know that.
Chris Gaines, doesn't he have like a Vegas show? Chris Gaines is a fictional rock star persona created as an alter ego for Garth Brooks to explore rock and roll styles. I can't talk today. Far removed from his success as a country singer. 1999.
Okay.
Wow.
It was 99. It was later than I thought.
When did he go through spring training with the Padres?
That was around that time, too, right? I'd forgotten about that.
That was terrible.
That was before this, wasn't it?
I don't know. I'm just going to guess it was about the same time. But
yeah, it's been a
while. Initially, Brooks planned to feature the Gaines persona in a movie called The Lamb, a motion picture which never materialized, much like Chris Gaines'
career
in general. In 1999, Brooks released one album as Gaines. The album produced two charting Billboard singles, including the top five pop hit Lost in You.
Huh.
And that's your Chris Gaines trivia for today on The Memo.
Wow. Okay. Chris Gaines.
We're going to go ahead and get things started this morning. We want to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Visit South on North Gloucester Street in Tupelo.
All right, let's get going with Bobby Harrison down in Jackson, our Capitol Bureau Chief. Bobby, how you doing?
Hey, Brad, how you doing?
All right, sir. Well, the fiscal year has barely begun, and we've already got a round of budget cuts. Phil Bryant announcing yesterday he's going to cut $56.8 million across most state agencies, and this was to account for an accounting error that we have talked about in the past, where the legislature budgeted $56.8 million more than the state's projected to collect in revenue during this fiscal year. So was this anticipated?
I think their hope when they announced soon after the session ended in April that the Speaker Gunn and Lieutenant Governor Reeves announced pretty soon after the session ended that this had occurred and they had appropriated too much. I think they were hoping that revenue would pick up, and that revenue had picked up and they could have, a $6 billion budget, $56 million is not a whole lot. So they were, I think they were hoping revenue would pick up so they would not have to address this issue. Through the first month, revenue was actually down from the previous session, and the numbers hadn't been released for August. But some people have said that it's not going to be pretty in August either. So, I think they're just trying to get ahead of the curve because this may be the first of some more cuts that are going to have to come later this year, early next year. So, unless revenue does pick up, this could just be the beginning of cutting that the governor has to do either, transfer more money from the rainy day fund.
Yeah, the state budget is more than $6 billion, so this represents less than 1% of that general budget. But still, Bobby, that's got to have an impact.
We'll see what the impact is, but, you got to remember that he cut twice during the last budget year.
Yeah.
And he also transferred, $110 million from the rainy day fund. So with those, and then the legislature also made cuts to the budget they passed, so they're cutting. He's cutting on top of what has already been cut. So you already seen some blowback. The Department of Mental Health's closed some important programs. Department of Health is cutting back on some stuff, and the forestry folks laid off some folks. So this is going to begin to have even more of an impact. So
yeah.
So we'll see what happens in the coming months.
And now, not all agencies will be subject to these cuts. I know the Mississippi Adequate Education Program, for instance, they're not going to touch that funding, are they?
No, that's the money that goes to local school districts, and they're taking a lot of heat for not fully funding that program. So he did cut that, and he didn't cut veterans and military affairs, and he didn't cut the tuition assistance programs for college students. And also there's some court-ordered programs like money that goes to Northeast Mississippi school districts that, because it was by court order, they're supposed to get money to make up for the fact that the North Mississippi school district, most districts in Northeast Mississippi don't have 16 section school land. So the state has to make up for that revenue to make them equal with the revenue to other parts of the state given 16 section land. So that money was not cut. Those are examples of some of the things that,
right,
that were not cut.
All right. Well, you know, they got these working groups that the legislature's put together that we've talked about, trying to streamline the state's tax structure and whatnot. And I had a story also today, Bobby, about the Department of Mental Health and the high turnover rate they have. It was a 48% for last fiscal year. And, you know, I mean, a lot of these workers don't make very much money, so they're looking to, the agency would like to give them pay increases. Do they feel like they made any headway yesterday?
Well, you know, it's going to be hard to give, you know, pay increases. I mean, when you're talking about these are the direct care workers at the Department of Mental Health, and you know, they make, I don't have numbers right in front of me, but they make, about $17,000 a year, less, yeah, less than about $8 a little bit per hour.
Yeah.
And these are people, you know, most people couldn't do their jobs. I mean, it's dealing with people who are in difficult situations, people who are being held in state hospitals because of mental health issues. It's real sad, and some of the situations these folks are in. And these people, you know, deal with them on a daily basis, you know, up close and personal, everything from taking care of their various needs, whatever they might be. And so it's tough work, and there's not much reward for it. So the folks at Mental Health said a lot of these people are working two and three jobs to make ends meet. But, you know, you start talking about a sizable pay raise for 3,000 employees, and that's a big chunk of money out of the state budget when they're already making cuts. So, you know, that's the type of things, you know, the working groups are looking into ways to streamline, and what they're finding is that, you know, there's a lot of needs in this, and I'm sure there's ways to streamline, but what they're finding, there's a lot of needs in the state that aren't being met. So that's the flip side of that.
All right. Well, good stuff, Bobby. You can find these stories that Bobby wrote in today's journal or at djournal.com. Give Bobby a follow on Twitter at BobbyHarrison9. Bobby, appreciate your time, man.
All right, Brad. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Hey, be sure to look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps and Blake Morgan. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast live around 11 a.m. at djournal.com. The podcast version drops later in the day. You can listen to that for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. And Ole Miss and MSU fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. So look for a new episode of Double Coverage today. And also need to remind y'all about Newsbreak. Wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's Newsbreak, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a five-minute video. Shows will be posted every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them for free at any time at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Stay informed on the latest happenings in your community in an easily digestible format.
Thomas Wells joining us on this, what is today? Is it Thursday?
Gosh, it feels Friday. Like Tuesday.
It does. This week is kind of has gone by quickly. I saw you enjoying yourself by the pool.
Yes.
And I don't mean that as I drove by slowly looking for you in front of your house. I saw on social media that you were, yes. I'm going to stop talking. How about that?
I actually have put off for 2 years installing a television out by the pool. And this year I said I'm doing it. And so Saturday I spent all day by the pool watching college football.
That wasn't an iPad?
No, it was actually
that was
a television.
A TV. There you go.
I actually broke
You look
down.
Like you had your own little cabana going.
Yeah, I built that a couple years ago. And I said I was going to put a TV out there. And by God, I actually did it this year. To the regrets of my wife, she was like, you know, you're never going to come inside now, which that's the reason I put it out there.
Too bad it wasn't for a better day of football on that day.
Yeah.
Hey, you had Monday's In Focus photo essay where you visited East Main Tire in Tupelo, which is located on East Main. I did verify that before the top of the show. I just wanted to make sure I had that right. What all do they do at East Main? I assume that they do tires.
They do tires. Okay. They do a little bit of everything. You know, when we first moved here to town almost 20 years ago, every man knows this. The two hardest things to find is, one, a barber, and two, a place you can take your car.
You and I don't have to worry about that first one anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Shut up, Brad. Your time's coming.
And the second was a good place you can take your car and get it serviced.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I found that place 20 years ago, and we'd go to them religiously, and I was like, you know what? They do a lot of stuff in there, and that's another one where you drop your car off, and you sit in an office, and they show up an hour later and go, hey, it's done. And
you have you don't know what
no idea what they've done. They could disconnect all the brake cables for all you know, and you could run into a tree after you leave.
Not that East Main Tupelo would ever do that. Let's just go ahead and put that on the
They do a little bit of everything. I mean, Tim in there, he actually builds rock climbers, Jeeps and stuff, and, I mean, Kent makes... I mean, they do a little bit of everything.
They were working on a Jeep Wrangler while you were in there.
Oh, it was the Jeep day. I had my Jeep in there.
Well, I was wondering. I was looking at the license plate. I was like, is it Thomas's Jeep?
No, my Jeep was parked in the parking lot, but my Jeep was there, and then two other Jeeps were in the bay, so it was an all Jeep day when I was there, which was kind of funny.
Jeep day is fun.
Because, you know, Jeeps, man, oh, if you don't keep a wrench in the back end somewhere in that Jeep, you're gonna need it at some point, because they are notorious for breaking down.
I still want a Wrangler. I never had one. I had two Jeep Grand Cherokees, but I never had
a Wrangler. It's just not the same. Yeah, but they do everything. I mean, they're really nice folks, and they let me go in there and spend a couple hours with them. And you know,
I was gonna say it looked like you were there kind of early morning-ish.
Yeah, I got there like 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, and hung out till 10 or so. And
got anything you learned that you didn't know beforehand?
Yeah, you know, I didn't know. I mean, he was fabricating a bumper for one of the Jeeps to put a new trailer hitch on it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know they did that. I thought they did like brakes and alignments and tire rotations and oil changes, and apparently you give them enough money, they'll build you whatever
Simonize
you want.
Simonize your tire, they'll do
absolutely. I mean, yeah, they were doing basic maintenance, replacing steering stabilizers, and literally fabricating a bumper for a Jeep. I'm like, if I'd have known that,
there you go.
Yeah,
you would have had a trailer hitch
exactly for my Jeep a long time ago.
Get that TV out by the pool and then get a trailer hitch. You'll never be back in the house ever again. They are located on East Main. Where on East Main are they located?
Near the birthplace, on top of the hill. Place.
There you go. So it looks like they've got a pretty great little establishment here, and lots of tires to choose from.
They're always busy. So
there you go, East Main Tire on Tupelo. Thomas, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. More demolition began this week at the Azalea Gardens apartment complex on Ida Street. There are 12 remaining buildings at the city-owned property. 4 buildings remain occupied by tenants and 8 are vacant. Century Construction will raise the 8 vacant buildings and remove the slabs where those buildings sit. Century also will haul off demolition debris. The city of Tupelo purchased the 7.8-acre Azalea Gardens complex in 2014 for $2.15 million. At the time, there were 25 apartment buildings on the site. The purchase was described by officials as part of an effort to combat crime and blight in the area. Since then, city officials have continued to discuss the possibility of redeveloping the area, but no specific plan has been announced.
The police officer who fatally shot Antoine Ronnie Shumpert is back on active duty with the Tupelo Police Department. Tyler Cook had been on paid administrative leave since the June 18th shooting incident, but a city spokesperson confirmed that Cook is now off leave and back to work with the force. Tupelo Communications Director Alicia Faulkner said Cook is performing administrative duties. The Shumpert family has filed a wrongful death suit against the city of Tupelo, seeking at least $35 million in damages. The Mississippi Bureau of Investigation conducted a probe into the shooting and turned its findings over to the grand jury in early August. The grand jury returned no indictment against Cook. Federal authorities, including the Department of Justice, are reviewing MBI's investigative report, but have not launched an independent investigation of the shooting. A Department of Justice spokesman said Wednesday that review of the case remained ongoing.
Nearly half of the direct care workers employed by the Department of Mental Health in the 2015 fiscal year did not return to their jobs in 2016. Officials from the department made a presentation Wednesday about their high turnover to a group of state lawmakers. The turnover rate for the 2,900 direct care workers was 48%. Officials said it cost between $2,300 and $2,600 to train new direct care workers. Spokeswoman Wendy Bailey said it is not uncommon for the agencies to lose direct care workers to other jobs, such as fast food restaurants. Bailey spoke to members of the legislative working groups formed by House Speaker Philip Gunn and Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves to look at the state's taxing and spending policies. The agency proposed a realignment that would increase pay by more than $2,000 a year for trainees and for direct care workers. That would bring the yearly salaries to $18,282.98 for trainees and to $20,020.28 for direct care workers. Officials believe the pay increase would reduce the turnover.
An arrest has been made in connection to a recent shooting on the Northeast Mississippi Community College campus. According to Boonville Police Chief Michael Ramey, the shooter is in custody and is currently being held at the Prentiss County Jail. Ramey refused to release the suspect's name and information, saying he won't officially be charged until this evening. The suspect's information will be released at that time. Ramey did say that the police have a signed confession from the shooter. The incident happened August 25th, sending a student to the hospital with a gunshot wound. Multiple shots were fired around 11 p.m. near the intersection of Jefferson Street and Ellis Avenue on the NEMCC campus. Jogger Cameron Beard, a Northeast student, was struck once in the right leg.
The Create Foundation is seeking volunteers to help with its second annual Imagining the Possibilities Career Expo. The event is funded by regional sponsors and the Toyota Wellspring Education Fund. It will take place October 4th through 6th at the Bancor South Arena. The expo is designed to expose Northeast Mississippi 8th graders to career paths and will feature hundreds of professionals with hands-on exhibits for students to explore. More than 7,000 students are expected to attend this year's expo. Volunteer tasks include registering visitors, providing expo information, distributing caps and bags, and greeting school buses, among many other tasks. Volunteer time slots are from 8 a.m. until 12:30 p.m. and from 12 p.m. until 4:30 p.m. on October 4th and 5th, as well as from 8 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. on October 6th. Anyone interested in volunteering can sign up at createfoundation.com. Click on Career Expo at the top of the page and then scroll down to the bottom of the page for the link to sign up to volunteer. For more information, contact Albine Bennett at 662-844-8989.
Remember to visit South on North Gloucester Street in Tupelo. They are the sponsor of our Thursday show each week on The Memo, and we always like giving them a nice shout-out, not only because they sponsor our show, but also because it is fine dining in a casual atmosphere. I enjoy going to South.
Me too.
And I mean that. Hey, they have trivia. It's one of the few places around town that has trivia anymore.
Every Wednesday? About
that Thursday, I believe.
It's every Wednesday. Right there, buddy. Right there in the script. Been reading this for weeks.
They have trivia every Wednesday.
Yes.
The only place around here that pretty much does trivia anymore.
And you can win a gift card of $50.
$50 can go a long way at South because the prices are reasonable. Yes, oh, I like how we both did that at the same time. You want to do that one more time? There you go. A little off.
Clark, I'm going to get you something real nice.
Remember South on North Gloucester Street in Tupelo.
It's Thursday. That means it's movie review time with M. Scott Morris. Hello, Scott. How are you?
Well, I think you got to get more excitement in your voice when you say that. I mean, it's movie review time.
I can try that again.
A little more excitement.
It's Thursday, excitement. And now we've got M. Scott Morris in the studio to talk about movies.
the wacky review.
The screen scene.
Somebody hitting me, skipping
with Scott Morris.
I stole that from Steve Martin from L.A. Story. The wacky weather. Hey, I saw a movie that was not wacky at all.
No, apparently you need to bring an entire box of Kleenexes with you.
I'm telling you what, I did not exactly bawl, but there was something in my eye for a while there.
Get a little dusty in there? Yeah.
Hey, The Light Between Oceans, this is a spoiler alert. But only a little bit of one. I mean, I can't talk about this without telling you a certain amount of things that happened there.
Sure.
And I don't mind doing that because the previews that I saw showed you a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
So what you have is you have Michael Fassbender as a guy torn up by World War One. He wants to go live alone. But he ends up hooking up with Alicia Vikander. But back in those days, they didn't hook up. It was a long-distance relationship with actual letter writing involved.
What?
Steamy letters. No, not even steamy. Just kind of, but they get together. They want to have a kid. They can't. This all takes about 45 minutes to play out. It's a very slow-moving movie.
Yeah.
And so you have to, like, adopt yourself to its rhythms.
Right.
Well, she can't have kids.
Yeah.
And so they're out living on a lighthouse on the island. A boat shows up. There's a dead man and a live baby inside. And then this plays out for a while. They decide to keep the baby. And again, this is all in the previews. Well, there's tension there the whole time because also from the previews, I knew that the mother of the baby is still alive. And so what happens is when you start seeing what happens when the father, Tom, and Isabel, and their daughter, adopted daughter, kind of off the books, Lucy,
and then interacts with the actual mother. Mm-hmm. And you see the emotional load coming at you like a freight train. It's like you're on a slow motion crash. So it's all very slow, all very easy, but you see it all coming. It's all very, where you see these delightful little scenes of family bliss, although your spine's a little tight because you know it can't stay that way.
Yeah.
And painfully slow at times, but then once certain things start happening when the mothers are kind of, both love this child and both have kind of a claim on this child, and the father does too, and just to see how this story plays out, I was impressed by it. I was touched by it. And as I was leaving the theater, people were still crying. So I didn't quite get that far into it, but I wanted to see how this story turned out.
Yeah.
But again, a very like Fassbender plays Tom is a very like buckled down, tight fellow. So any kind of crack just shines out. But then Vikander there, she's a mother distraught at times, happily a mother, and then in all this distress and pain.
Yeah.
And then Rachel Weisz plays the mother of the child who was kind of illicitly adopted, and her grief and then joy followed by trouble because this little kid is torn between her natural mother and her real mother.
Yeah.
Just to see all that play out is so very, very powerful. I recommend it. It's a different type of movie. It's a literary type of movie, and you have to adapt to its pacing.
Yeah, I mean, you wrote that if you'd come across this on TV, you might not have stuck with it.
Oh, I would not have, not at all, because it requires you to get into the mood, and I would just turn the channel and see what was on ESPN. I mean, because you see a lot of scenes of just waves crashing, and you have time just. Time passing,
yeah.
And just trying to get you in the rhythm, and then you also just know there's going to be this big bunch of trouble coming, and you just keep waiting for it to happen. It's like it doesn't happen, like The very patient filmmaking requiring you to be a patient film viewer.
Who directed this?
A guy named.
How do you pronounce that name there?
I'm not exactly
Derek
sure.
Derek Cianfrance.
Cianfrance.
I don't know.
Might be
that's
the best.
That's my working name. I dabble.
He also wrote the screenplay from the book by M.L. Stedman.
Okay.
It's showing at the Cinemark and also I believe it's at the Malco in Oxford.
Okay.
But it's not much any other place, and so this is one of those kind of under the radar kind of art house films, I think, that every now and then slips in to Tupelo, that if you're that a fan of that kind of stuff, you probably need to hurry because it probably won't last at the Cineplexes that long.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, it stars Michael Fassbender, who's maybe a lot of people don't know who he is, but I think it's probably because of some of the parts, the roles he takes. Now, he did play Steve Jobs.
Yeah, he was pretty prominent.
Magneto.
Oh, that's right, he is Magneto, isn't he? That's right. I forgot about that. But so, anyway, like you mentioned his performance, that he, like you said, the cracks shine through.
Yeah, you see him. He's been damaged by the war, World War One, and what he saw, and so all that's like playing beneath the surface of it, and it's a very restrained performance. So when you see him racked with guilt, you know he's not tearing his shirt or anything, but you feel it. I mean, you know what this guy is feeling.
Yeah.
It's a powerful film, and if you drank a lot of caffeine, it may be a very aggravating film because you really have to sit there for it.
Yeah.
But I think it's worth it.
All right. Well, the Light Between Oceans, and you gave it a B.
Give it a B.
Read Scott's review in today's journal in the scene section or djournal.com. Thank you, Scott. Thanks for coming in, Scott. Scott Morris, everybody.
There you go. Much better. Thank you.
We'll see you next week.
I'm happy to be here.
All right. What's going on in the scene section, Derek? What's happening around
so
here this weekend?
So many things. If you're a fan of comedy,
I am.
You can get your... Please don't interrupt. You can get your fill Friday or Saturday night in Tupelo. Friday night is open mic night at Woody's starting at 8:30 p.m. Go listen to some local comedians or stand up and do it for yourself, Brad.
Maybe I should try that. I got lots of jokes. That's a terrible joke.
Let's hear one.
Perform for me now, money. Funny on the spot. Man, on the spot.
I've told this joke before, probably. It's the one I made up when I was like 7.
Oh God. Is it where you close? Where you cover your eyes and nobody sees you, and you can't? Nobody sees you.
What kind of cars do cows drive? No, anyone? I don't know. Cadillacs.
Get out.
That would get me booed off the stage.
Please don't walk on stage. Yeah, actually, you do. Kristen, I'll come if you do that. I'll buy your dinner if you get up and tell about 30 like that and see how long you make it. Tupelo Improv Comedy Group, west of Shake Rag, performing their September show at the Link Center on Saturday night, 7:30 p.m. Admission $5 and includes free popcorn.
Actual funny people, unlike me.
Yeah, unlike you. Our centerpiece story this week, my centerpiece story this week, I'm not sharing it with you, Brad. That's why I said ours, like the royal hour, is the Complete History of America, abridged. If you're familiar with the complete works of William Shakespeare, it's a hilarious show, came out a number of years ago. This is from the same people that do that. They do the Complete History of America, about 600 years.
Wow.
In 90 minutes. And it is funny, 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 funny. They go all the way up to Hillary and Trump.
Do they skip all the bad parts? Like Trail of Tears and slavery? Yeah,
we look over the blights.
Just wondering.
But some pretty good stuff there. This opens next weekend at Tupelo High School. It is a hilarious show. I sat and watched it Tuesday. I went when I was talking to the kids and watched a good bit of it. Some really funny stuff in there. If there's a Bill of Rights, why don't we have a Bill of Wrongs?
Word.
Yeah.
Number one on the list. Anybody? Anybody?
I don't know.
Leaving the toilet seat up.
I don't do that.
We live in a house full of women, so.
Yeah, well, I learned.
Number two, forbidding sending cutesy emails from people we hardly know. Yeah. Or getting cutesy emails. Nice. It's also a great debate on whether or not the national anthem should be changed from the Star Spangled Banner. Leonard Skinner's Free Bird is suggested, as well as Anne Murray's Snowbird. So that one gets a little heated.
I have an open mind to that.
Yeah, yeah. Anne Murray's Canadian.
So and it's topical. That one. With the topical. Whole Colin Kaepernick thing.
What?
Colin Kaepernick, the football player, sitting down for the national anthem. Yeah. And also we've got a local musician releasing his debut album tomorrow.
Jace Nicholas. Find that on iTunes. He is a jazz artist. He's originally from Holka.
Wow.
And came to Tupelo, moved as a child, and he got into music very young playing piano, but what got him into jazz was watching Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Huh.
When he discovered that there was actually a band on the side of the stage doing all the music for the show.
What?
As it was happening, yeah.
I never knew that.
Live band doing
really?
So whenever you watch the Pleasing Crayon video to calm down, which I do that a lot, that's live music. Well, it's not live now. They're probably all dead, but which adds an element of terror to that, I guess. Now the crayon video isn't so calming anymore, but anyway.
It's a reminder of our mortality.
Oh, God. I need a reminder of that. I sit next to Brad every day.
Nah, what does that mean?
So, what?
What?
So, all that going on, of course, Scott mentioned The Light Between Oceans as well. It's a movie choice you can take in this weekend. So, always something going on in Tupelo.
Cool.
Come on down to
Paradise City.
Where everybody come on. I was trying to everybody's welcome down in Tupelo, but it turned into
the grass is green and the girls are pretty.
Yeah, there you go. Brad's not pretty.
No, I'm not.
It's fine.
Got a face made for podcasting, and they still keep putting me on videos for some reason.
I just write words. I don't even have a voice for this.
No, you're fine.
It's okay.
All right, that's it, huh?
Yeah,
we're done.
That's gonna do it.
Cool.
All right.
Great.
Terrific.
Fantastic. Hey, today's show was sponsored by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Hey, try their cheap date night every Tuesday. If you're cheap like me, it comes in handy. The restaurant offers two meals for the price of one that includes salad, sides, dessert, and beer or wine, all for just $25 at South on North of Gloucester.
There you go.
Boom. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find us here 3 days a week if you're not overly familiar with our program. Every Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, you can listen for free in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or at memo.djournal.com. Just if you have one of the apps, just go in there and find the memo, search for it, hit the subscribe button. You'll get notified every time a new episode drops. So there you go.
Give us your email address so we can send you cutesy emails.
Yes.
Like cutesy, Brad's cutesy joke of the day.
Ah,
Cadillac.
I'll have more next time. I still got to work on that pilot.
I'll think of something better.
I still got to work on that. I may work that joke into the pilot episode of Brad Block is the Worst.
No, it's just Brad Block's the Worst.
Brad Block's the Worst.
There's apostrophe S.
Okay.
Tell the kids.
I can't even get the title right.
Contraction, yeah.
I just can't decide if I want to use...
Every week it's a different title because he can't ever remember. This week it's Brad Block is the Worst.
Bad he can't even remember the title.
The only thing I can't decide is if I should change people's names or just go with the people that like work here and my family and go with
real
names.
Chris and I read off on it before you submit it, just to make sure everybody's painted in the correct light.
Nah, I'll paint them in whatever light's necessary to make it funny.
That's not how this works. No.
Yeah, I mean, if I want to make you neurotic.
What do you mean make? I'm pretty neurotic as it is.
The pop culture fan. Oh wait, that is you.
Yeah.
So I don't have
you
to.
Pretty much can just
write you as you are.
Yeah. Just shave Jack Black's head, and you got me.
Nice. So anyway, speaking of email, email us at memo@journalinc.com. Mm-hmm. Find us on Twitter at @DJournalMemo. I'm on Twitter at Brad Lock. Derek is on Twitter at @WDerekRussell. Chris is at Chris Kiefer.
Cheaper.
Nice. Cheaper. All right. That's it. We will be back on Monday this time.
Says you.
Because this past Monday we were not because of the holiday.
I'm taking my holiday this coming Monday.
So no, you're not.
I might.
Yeah. Sorry. You got to come back here.
You don't own me.
That's fine. We'll just get Lauren or Emma in here. All right. That's it. Hope everybody has a great rest of the week weekend.
A great rest of the week.
Thanks, buddy. You too. Yeah,
sure. I can't wait to see you perform tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to happen.
I need you. I'm looking at you, Chris Kiefer, to go pick up some tomatoes.
I've got to work.
Or eggs.
Tomatoes?
Done.
Why?
What?
I got to work tomorrow. Sorry.
Don't worry about it.
No, it's fine. We got this covered.
Maybe next time I'll do it.
See you Monday.
Got to work on my act.
Bye.
Goodbye. Okay,